Okay, we're continuing here, and I think probably most people have noticed that we are significantly ahead of schedule. So we huddled a little bit at the break and decided that we are going to come back here and kick this portion off again and give you all another chance if questions may have occurred to you during the break on the material that's been presented so far. And if not, we're changing this schedule up a little bit, and Brett Brownscombe is going to walk you through the county and stakeholder engagement process that we used as we worked through the HCP this year. So we anticipate that could take us up to maybe about 10:45, possibly 11, depending on how things go. And then we'd take another break. And when we come back, we're sort of back on the anticipated schedule or close to it, and we'll kick that off with a comparative analysis. So if that makes sense to everybody, we'll go ahead and get started. Yes, great. Thank you, Tom. So any more questions for the team here that walked through the HCP? Okay. So with that, I'd like to introduce Brett Brownscombe with Oregon Consensus, and he has been instrumental in leading some of the key aspects of our stakeholder engagement process. And so I'll turn it over to you, Brett.
Thanks, Liz. And just did the audio check, so that should be coming through clear. So Chair Imason, members of the board, it's good to see you virtually. My name is Brett Brownscombe, and I work for Oregon Consensus at the Portland State University Hatfield School of Government. As Liz and Cindy mentioned at the outset of today, ODF retained Oregon Consensus, as well as Kearns and West, and Deb Noodleman, Sylvia Chubarowski, and the team there in advancing the HCP and the related incidental take permitting effort. We've provided third-party independent process support, and largely that's fallen along roles of Kearns and West working on the internal support, the scoping team and the steering committee. What we refer to and is referred to in slides as the planning teams. And then also Kearns and West is engaged around the external support in some of the meetings I'll talk to. My role in Oregon Consensus's role has been around the external support and by and large, along with feedback into the internal support. This kind of independent process support, as well as the other contracting ODF has done, including technical resources like ICF and others that Cindy mentioned at the outset of today, is part of how ODF is has chosen to do things differently than the last go-around with the HCP. I'm here to talk to you and present a brief overview about the external engagement process that has supported the HCP and incidental intake permit effort to date. So the external engagement has occurred through a variety of venues and approaches, and those are listed here on this slide. Some of the summary points for your attention, we've had at the top, the broad public outreach and the related meetings to that. We've had 6 meetings open to the public over the course of the process, and those have been both in person back in the day and more recently virtual. The broad outreach has included lists that ODF manages, Kearns and West has been managing. It spans diverse stakeholders and interested members of the public, hundreds long. It includes watershed councils, soil and water conservation districts, and others. So the outreach around this these broad public gatherings has been significant. The degree of interest has also been really high. Attendance has consistently been over 100 since the meetings within the past year. In fact, it's been higher in the virtual mode than when we were doing the meetings in person pre-COVID. And those meetings have also included consistently members of the internal teams, the planning teams, so members of the scoping teams from the federal regulatory agencies as well as the state agencies have been engaged in those meetings in listening mode mostly, but tracking the external process. The other venue to talk through importantly, I'll go through the top 3 bullets. So the county venues, There have been challenges, and you know, the counties are also on the front lines when it comes to COVID response and wildfire response, not to mention the Linn County litigation. But the relationship and the connection are intact and remains through various channels that we've used during the process. So we've been deliberate in the process, and then ODF, State Forest Division staff and leadership as well, about the distinct relationship that trust land counties have with ODF and the board and state forest lands. FTLAC had been the venue, the primary venue for engagement. We paused at a point during the Linn County litigation, and the counties have not resumed calling those meetings since December of 2019. COVID has been part of the challenge, and dynamics stemming from the Linn County court decision is also part of the challenge. More recently, counties have twice convened the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties as a venue to discuss the HCP and instant old take permit effort. We've had more process than that in the intentional engagement with counties. So ODF State Forest Division leadership, as well as the process, we've been engaging counties through the Association of Oregon Counties, through Mason, Bruce, and Gerard, and the county's contracted consultant there in providing direct information, including related to modeling, through MBG. And then we've had direct engagement with the FTLAC chair, as well as conversations with individual counties and commissioners to be sure that the diverse county perspectives are received and understood. So under stakeholder engagement, we've done this in a few ways, and this includes focus group meetings that some have been done jointly, bringing people together, even if they didn't necessarily say they raised a hand or loved the idea of hanging out together, all in the same virtual space at the same time. We've also had meetings that are more individual interest specific in nature. And there have been over 14 organized meetings across conservation, the forest products industry, recreation interest, and the State Forest Advisory Committee over the course of the process. And then in addition to that, there have been, it's hard to specifically enumerate how many, but many meetings and phone calls and other engagement individually with individual people and engaging them in ways that are intended to understand their concerns, their questions, and get their feedback. So the internal and the external process connection, I wanted to spend a quick minute on this. Ultimately, the HCP and incidental take permit effort that you're considering and that the department's been working on is a negotiation with the federal services, who issue a regulatory permit. And that permit provides Endangered Species Act coverage related to compliance with the ESA, as well as other legal assurances for ODF's timber harvest, conservation, and other management activities. But all involved in the in that work, including the federal services, as well as everybody on the internal process teams, has been very interested in what counties, stakeholders, and the public think. So when a draft work product is developed and negotiated at the technical team level, the scoping team, and then cleared by the agency leadership that's represented on the steering committee, it's then taken into the external engagement space. And I'll get to that on the next slide, but don't go there yet. And so we've attempted really to stay disciplined in the process about not getting ahead of the skis and not surprising the internal planning team, making sure that the work product and information is developed enough to then go into the external sphere for engagement. We've tried to really be transparent and equitable about that and how we release info and when the process releases information. So that when that happens, it's first to the counties, honoring the distinct relationship between the board, department, and counties. And then it's to the broader public and stakeholders. And there's a feedback loop. Like I mentioned, most of the times during these meetings, there are scoping team members that are kind of poking in, listening in, and getting feedback from what they're hearing at the public meetings and the stakeholder meetings. So next slide. This is the graphic that we've adapted over time. You've seen this one before. And I think there's an animation that we should just float in now just to be sure it's there. And if it's not, oh, good, there it is. If it wasn't there, I'd just speak to it. So this is a course level depiction of the timeline and process approach to public engagement. And so taking it from the left of the slide on your screen, you know, that's where we've been. Dating all the way back to early 2019, and the process work actually goes back farther than that into 2018. But this tracks where we've been, where we are now. So the green arrow pointing down and the yellow circle, and where things could go. And kind of on the right hand of the slide, a NEPA process and permit issuance and approvals, and ultimately coming back to you as a board in 2022. So this slide doesn't include all of the meetings. For example, the county and stakeholder meetings that I've mentioned aren't on here, but the key piece to notice is within this red oval, the public engagement meetings and our checkpoints in the process have been driven by HCP work product that comes from the planning teams, the scoping team and the steering committee. And these work products are the key components or chapters of the HCP. And so the way the process has worked is once a set of work products was ready, that corresponds to the HCP chapters within the kind of bounded by the vertical dark blue, purple arrows, then the external rollout would begin. So that started again with the counties, then full public outreach and meetings associated to broad public outreach around these key work product and release points, and then followed by additional focus group and stakeholder conversations to get feedback. So how the process handled feedback is something to review real quick. It's been iterative, and the iterative process has been when feedback comes in through one of the meetings that I've mentioned or other conversations, it's conveyed back into the planning teams. And then as subsequent iterations of the work product get refined and developed, the process has been designed to clarify the revisions, including where feedback was or was not integrated and why. And that would happen during subsequent joint or individual meetings. And this is the way the process has worked iteratively from kind of final initial product layout, initial input through revision, and then draft product finalization. It's worked this way on all of the key HCP content areas. So covered species, covered area, mission, vision, goals, and biological objective components, as well as the conservation strategy development. And the county and stakeholder and public feedback and input has shaped all of these to date. So what have we heard? Key takeaways from the external process. The short of it is, I think Liz captured some of this at the outset, and you'll certainly hear. So you'll hear from counties and stakeholders shortly on what they're saying. Some of the themes that I wanted to reflect today are there's been an appreciation for the process and the engagement of the process with meaningful information. And so I think it's worth noting that all of this process to date hasn't been obligatory. It's part of a proactive strategy that ODF and the board wanted to take, and it's Oregon. So process is kind of in the blood here, but this all predates the NEPA process. It predates any formal process through NEPA. Should the board enter the NEPA process, the public engagement outreach and feedback will continue as part of that NEPA effort. That's one thing we've heard. The other thing is people want more time. A lot of folks have been, this is a data rich, an information rich environment at this point. A lot of information's been put out. People want time to review and process the info. That said, they've also reflected that they understand the programmatic value on why programmatic endangered species act coverage would be a good thing for border forestry lands versus a take avoidance approach. But so that while they get the relative value proposition, the question for most interests, depending on where they sit, often comes down to one of, but at what price? To wood products, to revenue, to conservation outcomes. And so some reflect, you know, that they want more harvest, more wood products, more timber jobs, more rural community revenue and viability. And those are their concerns, whether it's county revenue, taxing districts, or local workforce and local economy, or reflecting up into broader interests around jobs and economy. And others want to see more conservation protections and less harvest. And that relates to species declines that have occurred over time and may still be occurring, and the history of habitat loss and the perception that it can't be gained back, or it's not likely to be gained back outside of a lot of the border forestry lands. We've heard that, and we've heard some opportunities for additional conversation. You'll hear more about it when you get the invited in public testimony. But the process outcome, we know, and I think it's no secret to anybody in the process or you all as board members, that counties and stakeholders have varying perspectives, and you'll hear them. But the process goal has been, by the time today's decision reaches you, and certainly by the time any draft final HCP is turned over into the NEPA process, the goal has been that if you go that way, that the counties, the stakeholders, the broader public will have had a chance to see, review, and provide feedback on the key component parts of the HCP and understand where their feedback has landed. And we feel like we've done a relatively good job in being able to reach this goal. And I think it's worth thanking and recognizing ODF staff in-house, sister agency staff, the hired professionals, including I mentioned Deb and Sylvia at Kearns and West and the team there, as well as Troy and others at ICF, and Melissa at ICF. And it's been a lot of people who have been able to make a process work in a way that is in a complex environment and in a virtual point in time with a lot going on externally. There's been the ability to reflect out a lot of information and have that iterative connection back and forth between work product development, feedback, and reflection of where things are going and landing in response to the feedback. So even if you aren't hearing all the voices that come into the virtual room today, holding hands and singing Kumbaya in unison, and even if there's some ongoing work to do with stakeholder feedback wrapped up in it, that people across the diverse interests have been informed and better understand where one another are coming from as a result of the process. So I'll conclude with where things are headed. Should the board decide to move forward into the next phase of HCP and incidental take permit development, the external engagement process would continue, as I've talked it through today. It would continue from this October point through the time of administrative draft HCP submission into the federal NEPA process. And then following submission of that draft as part of the NEPA public engagement process that's led by NOAA Fisheries, we are intending to strive to work with NOAA in gaining alignment in its process, and both with the parties and the process work to date, so that there's ideally syncing up and smoothness there, recognizing that the Board of Forestry is going to bat last in this, in reviewing whatever comes out of the NEPA process in 2022. Should the board go a different direction today and not continue with the HCP development process, then the division would determine the next steps in public engagement. Based on your direction as a board, ODF would continue to engage stakeholders in a pathway forward for Oregon State Forest Management. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. It's been a pleasure and honor to work on a project like this. And it's kudos to all who have been working hard on this. And I think if there are questions, I'll take them, or Liz, otherwise hand it back to you.
Are there questions from board members? I think we appreciate the effort you put into this and the summary that you've just provided.
Thanks. And good to hear everybody.
So Liz?
Sure. Thank you. And thank you, Brett, for that summary. Characterizing a long process there in a relatively short time. So thank you. And thanks for your leadership in that work. So still ahead of schedule for what was scheduled to be another break at 11 o'clock. We're trying to slow the pace a little bit, recognizing that members of the public are probably keenly interested in the comparative analysis, which is one of the reasons that we changed up the schedule a little bit. So I guess what I would propose is we take another break to make sure that the public can hopefully catch up a little bit with us. Maybe they might be checking in a little bit early if they were wanting to hear the comparative analysis. That would be my suggestion.
I think that's fine. So we'd reconvene at 11, go into the comparative analysis, and then move on from there.
Yeah, that would be great.
We will reconvene at 11.
All right. Thanks.